Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today, I want us to think about heaven. What is your thought when you think of heaven? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Do you just think of it as playing a harp on a cloud, which so many of us, I think, did for so many years? Do you remember Randy Alcorn's book on heaven? Oh, wow. When it came out, it was all the talk in our church, and I know other churches as well. It seemed like he did this massive study of heaven and basically tried to convince us all that heaven was going to be physical. It was going to be the new heavens and the new earth. And it was not going to be something totally different. It was going to be a renewed version of our life here on earth. And that was so surprising and different than many of us were thinking. And we wanted to test that biblically. And guess what? He had some really good points. And that's what we always do when we hear something new. We compare it with what the Bible says. Now, Randy, in his book on heaven, he did a good job of regularly saying, okay, here's where the Bible ends, and I'm speculating a bit based on what we see in the Bible. And I really appreciated that. That actually helped me to pay attention to the rest of what he was saying, because he admitted, okay, I might be wrong here, but maybe I'm right. And so that kind of opened us up to consider, okay, maybe he is right about this. Well, one of the passages that he looked at to prove his point is in Romans chapter 8. And I want us to look at that today, because right thoughts about heaven are important. And this vision of kind of a physical new heavens and new earth, it really does fit into the rest of the Bible, and it affects the way that we live. What we say often on Integrated is that we're integrating the truth of God into our everyday lives. We don't want our theology just to fill our heads with knowledge and pride, but we want to be equipped to live in ways that are pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's got this different view of heaven than we've thought, then wait a minute, this might have an impact on how we live our lives. So I hope you have your Bibles. If you can find Romans chapter 8, that will help us as we walk through this section. Now, all of Romans 8 is great. I highly recommend it. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible, and I think it's probably yours as well. If you don't think it's your favorite chapter, I'm going to say you haven't studied it enough, because once you study it more, you'll go, this is incredible. All right. So in verse 18, he mentions sufferings. He actually mentions sufferings in verse 17, and then verse 18 gives us this incredible verse comparing the present sufferings of this world to what is to come. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So if you've got a scale, you've got all the tough stuff of this life on one side, the other side, he says, it's so much glory, it's not even worth comparing. Wow, that's pretty bold, but it's exactly right. And then he opens it up and starts explaining himself. The first word in verse 19 is for. I've been talking about something. Now I'm going to open it up even more. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, huh. He's kind of personifying creation to emphasize the wonder of our future glory. So says the ESV Study Bible in the notes. Huh. Creation is like a person in this picture. And this is a person that is eagerly longing for something. There is intense anticipation. The whole creation is on tiptoes to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. J.B. Phillips said it well. Well, who are the sons of God? Well, we know the Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. But earlier in Romans 8, he talks about our privileged position as sons and daughters of God, adopted into God's very family, which is incredible. And again, Romans 8, come on, it's really good. And that section about adoption is part of why it's really good. So, all right, let's go back to our verse here. Creation, eagerly longing, standing on the tiptoes, wanting to see the revealing of the sons of God. What is that about? Well, it's kind of our final form of adoption. So we're adopted now, but we're not what we're going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And creation wants to be there to see it. Why? Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to do more than just give us our final form of adoption. He's basically going to fix it all. He is going to bring the world into this new heavens and new earth situation. All right, keep going. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Futility. Creation can't do all that it wants to do. It's not good for creation. Adam's rebellion dragged the whole world down. God cursed the earth when sin entered the world. God made it very good, but it's not very good now. But there's hope. There's hope. This is not the way it's going to be. And creation knows it. Creation anticipates that the best is yet to come. That's really great. It can be compared to Jesus coming back to life that first Easter Sunday in the resurrection. It's like the world is going to be resurrected with new life and new power like Jesus. Huh. All right. He talks more about the hope in verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. All right. Two things are going to happen when Jesus comes for creation. It's going to be set free from its bondage to decay. If you live in Georgia, like I do, you know about kudzu. Kudzu is like this runaway, fast-growing, almost weed that is sort of everywhere alongside of the road. They've brought it in, I think, from Japan, and it was fast-growing. And they're like, great, this is going to help with the dirt and the soil retention. But now you can't control it. It goes and goes. It climbs up trees. It goes and grows. I mean, several feet per day, I think, in its growing season. So it's wild. Well, all kinds of weeds, all kinds of wild things in this world. And that's part of the fallenness of this world, part of the futility. And it's going to be set free from this futility. Right now, there is bondage, but there's going to be freedom. In fact, it says the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So, wow, that takes us back to our final form of adoption. So that's why creation's on its tiptoes, longing to see it go well for us, because it's going to go well for itself when it goes well for us when Jesus comes back again. This is great. Right now, decay, increasing weakness, pain, fading, incoherency, the future, newness, increasing beauty, strength, joy. Wow, that's remarkable. That's the new creation. So I got to say, though, I know there's a verse that seems like it says everything's going to be burned up. Everything's going away. I don't know about this heaven on earth thing, if everything's going to go away. Well, I think the verse you're thinking of is 2 Peter 3:10, which does talk about the Lord's return. And it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So, wow, dissolving, that doesn't sound like this is going to just be resurrected. It sounds like something brand new is going to come, completely new. But I think because earlier Peter compares it to Noah's flood, that this is just a way of saying that the earth is going to be purged of its evil, not that the earth is going to be annihilated. Wow, that's exciting. It's exciting to think of. So we're going to come back and think more about it after our break. It's good to think about heaven today. I hope you're having fun on Integrated.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. Speaking of getting heaven right, Randy Alcorn's 50 Days of Heaven has been transforming how Christians think about their eternal home. We recommend it all the time. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And most people are focused on their next vacation destination, but this devotional gets you excited about the ultimate destination. And here's what's fascinating. It doesn't just fill your head with information about heaven. It actually changes how you live right now, which is our goal with everything we do at Fortis Institute. Pick up Randy Alcorn's 50 Days of Heaven, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. By the way, here's something remarkable happening at Fortis Institute. We've assembled the finest biblical teachers of our time. All of these voices alongside of Todd help you think deeply about everything from heaven to how you live on Monday morning. Because theology, not just for Sundays, it shapes every moment of every day. And people like Dr. John Kratz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Libby Glosson, and others, you can get their content on Fortis Plus absolutely free. We're not gouging you for money. We don't want you to pay for Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus is like Netflix for your spiritual life, and it's free. We're not about giving you a free trial and then trying to charge an arm and a leg. No, it's free today. It's free tomorrow. It's free forever. FortisPlus.org. You can also download the Fortis Plus app to your mobile device. And if you sign up to become a Fortis Insider, you get daily emails that remind you of all of the content that we're releasing that day. 7 pieces of new content are added to Fortis Plus every day. It's a simple roadmap is what it is. So sign up to become a Fortis Insider right now at FortisInstitute.org. And hey, we've heard this saying since 2020. My wife absolutely hates it, so I'm going to say it. We're living in unprecedented times. But it's true. We really are. And we need solid biblical teaching now more than ever. Would you consider partnering with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? It's only your help and support that enable us to continue producing all of the content that we're able to produce and give it away absolutely free. If you would consider partnering with us, we would be forever grateful. You can find out more information right now about what it would look like in your life to do that at fortisinstitute.org. And together we can help Christians see beyond the temporal to what really matters eternally, FortisInstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We've been thinking about heaven. What a great thing to think about this day. Thank you for joining me on Integrated to consider God's Word and how it applies to our lives. And we have been exploring the biblical possibility that heaven is not just going to be pie in the sky on the clouds in the sweet by and by, I guess. We're not going to just be on a harp floating and in some semi-spiritual form, but physical. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead bodily. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he was the first fruits of the resurrection, meaning our resurrection is going to be like his resurrection. In other words, we will have physical bodies as well. Yes, they're stronger. Yes, they're better. Yes, we don't sin. Yes, it's going to be all those good things. And Jesus, of course, did go through the walls when he appeared to his disciples on that first resurrection day. So we're not sure if we're going to have some value adds in some of those ways, and not, you know, a little speculative, but a physical body needs a physical place. And that physical place is the new heavens and the new earth. And that is going to be where we are with the Lord. Now, we've been looking at Romans 8 and seeing that this picture of creation longing to be set free from its futility and from the curse, and it wants to be resurrected just like we are resurrected. And it just makes us wonder, what about some of these other verses we see about heaven? Do they match up with this concept of heaven being a physical place on earth? More than just a semi-spiritual floating in the clouds, the eternal church service. Oh no, what if heaven is boring? Heaven will not be boring. You will not be disappointed. Never ever let the devil whisper that in your ears, because it's so important for us to think rightly about heaven. We dare not think wrongly about heaven and be wrecked. God wants us to know about heaven so that we will live in light of heaven. And so if we just think, oh, heaven's boring, that will tempt us to not think great thoughts about heaven being there. All right, Isaiah 11. Some of these pictures in Isaiah, they've always made me wonder, okay, what time period are we talking about? Are we talking about this being literal? Are we talking about the millennium? Are we talking about this heaven on earth time? Listen to these familiar words from Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Oh, that's very physical. When is this talking about? And of course, different Bible scholars think different thoughts about when this is going to be. We don't doubt that it will be, but we wonder. And if this is related to Romans 8, this vision of the new heavens and the new earth, maybe this is what we have to look forward to. All right, here's another one. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. Now, why would somebody think this is about the new heavens and the new earth? Oh, listen to Isaiah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. All right, now stop there just for a second. Now that sounds like what we see about heaven. Everybody agrees that sounds like heaven in Revelation, right? So in Revelation 21, it talks about no more tears. It talks about it being the new heavens and the new earth. But I completely agree with people who say, well, wait, there's other things in Isaiah 65 that don't seem like they fit in the eternal state of heaven, maybe more like the millennium. All right, because verse 20 says, no more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. for the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, wait a minute, there's no sinners in heaven, 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Okay. And he talks again about the wolf and the lamb grazing together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I skipped down a few verses. All right. So there's questions. Yes, you know, questions about these couple of words about death and living a long life and how does that all fit together? But he definitely describes it as the new heavens and the new earth. And he definitely uses some language that is picked up in Revelation that clearly talk about the new heaven and the new earth. All right. 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I mentioned Revelation. Let me read that passage about heaven in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, sounds like Isaiah. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is fantastic. Again, how it all works together, I'm not sure. That I've still got questions about how it all works together. We started in Romans 8. We saw that creation was longing for the revealing of the sons of God, because when we get our full glory, it gets glory too. And Paul connects the dots. One more time, I want to go back to Romans 8, 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is not seen, or that is seen, is not hope. For hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We are groaning inwardly, it said back in verse 23, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies will be redeemed. We will be glorified. Our adoption will be full and complete, and we will be like Jesus. And we will live with him in this new heaven and new earth. This will be our home. All right. Okay. So what? So what? Why is this important to think about? It fills us with hope. It fills us with hope. This is going to happen. This is certain. And guess what? This is forever. However long you live, this world could be compared to a dot, compared to the ongoing continuous line of heaven, of glory. So we want to live for the line, not for the dot. James says life is like a vapor, here and then gone. Heaven will be a place of justice. All the wrongs of this world will be righted. That gives us confidence as we walk through a world of hurt. Heaven will be a place of healing and holiness. Heaven will be a place with Jesus, with joy, with worship. It will be great. It will not be an ongoing, continuous church service. From other places in Scripture, I think we'll have jobs to do. I think we will have people to rule over and to, you know, administrate things and do good work. We're going to have energy. We're going to have joy in our good work. It will not be a drudgery. It will be a delight in every way, and it will be with our Lord forever. It almost makes us want to cry thinking about it in anticipation. But we know this, if we cry now, we won't be crying long then. We may be crying for a minute, but those tears will be wiped away by our Lord. It's so good. It's so good. Oh, when you think of heaven, don't just let it fill you with information. Let it fill you with joy and anticipation, and let us do God's word. Let us live now in light of the world to come.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.